There was a time back in the day when the internet was a new frontier. It felt like the Wild West. No real rules, no real law enforcement presence. You know, bad and illegal things could be found with some effort on the regular internet. And today's story centers just on that. A mysterious website that, when one looked under its hood, seemed to be a posting board for some truly deadly work. In this episode, we jump into the mystery known only as Lake City Quiet Pills.
Killing, missing, hidden. The podcast about bad things.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of KMH Plus. I'm your old buddy Brad with a fun little mystery this week. If you spend a lot of time looking at strange things on YouTube or Reddit, you may have stumbled across this story before. Considering that it's over 10 years old, it's absolutely ancient by internet math. But I'm going to assume some of y'all aren't totally familiar with this one. And it's a fun little story. In fact, if you aren't familiar with it, I would call this a treat. A real treat from your old buddy Brad. And I would say, unless you've really dug into the story, you'll be pleasantly entertained by this episode. I mean, this ends up being a giant mystery that covers two decades, dozens of websites, tons of anonymous usernames, and potentially paints kind of a scary picture. And to this day, people still debate whether this was real or a hoax. You know, again, because I don't have a thesaurus, I'm going to describe this one again as a ride. It's a ride, y'all. And I just really pray that I've done this story justice. So let us begin. Now we begin our story on Reddit, the loveliest little village on the internet, right? Specifically, we're not going to start with just Reddit. We are going to start with a particular Reddit user who goes by the name Religion of Peace. Religion of Peace was an avid Reddit user who spent the bulk of his time on news and political subreddits. He seemed to be very, 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 very fond of arguing in, you know, rather disrespectful ways against, you know, how horrible large corporations were and the threat of what he described as socialism and, you know, that sort of stuff. His posts indicated that he was retired and that's how he was able to spend so much time on Reddit. He was also like a legit OG member of Reddit, having joined way back in 2007, well before Reddit became the big deal it is today. So we have an angry old man screaming at people on the internet all day. Super healthy way to live. Religion of Peace, which, you know, seems like an odd username for this guy, spent so much time on Reddit, in fact, he was actually appointed as a moderator of a subreddit. You know, moderators are like the homeowners association of each little subreddit. Lots of mods love enforcing rules and abusing the little power they've been given in their lives. And Religion of Peace wasn't much different. His big thing and what, you know, was apparently just gave him such a thrill was banning what he calls spammers. Now, you know, spammers are typically ones who come on a subreddit and try to advertise something or just try to post a bunch of negative things or inappropriate things real quick, and they get tossed. But, you know, to Religion of Peace, anyone he didn't get along with was a spammer. One apparently went through his post history and found his most common response, or his most common post of all time was, quote, F off and die, in all caps, of course. And that's how he would respond to people he thought was spammers. Now, if you aren't just the biggest fan of Religion of Peace yet, I've got a little bit more info that you'll surely love. The subreddit he moderated, I ain't told you what it was yet. It was called Jailbait. This was a subreddit dedicated to people posting pictures of either barely clothed or nude women who looked much younger than they were, or actual real teenagers posing provocatively while still technically being clothed. I mean, basically the purpose of this entire subreddit was for old men to look at what they thought were teenage girls. It wasn't illegal, but man, it came right up to the line, and it's a place most of us would feel really icky about visiting, right? And Religion of Peace was such a constant visitor, they put him in charge of this place. Now, this isn't where our story goes. In fact, I think the Jailbait sub has been shut down, and I think for a while. But no, what we're interested in is Religion of Peace himself. His posts, when he's not fighting with other Redditors or oogling naked teens, or almost teens, suggested that he was retired military. No one knew for sure if this was true, but he was pretty knowledgeable about various aspects of the military life, leading the majority of people to think he spent at least some time in uniform, even, you know, if he was overstating his accomplishments in his career. He constantly referred to himself as an old man, claimed he was born sometime in the 1930s, and claimed he was 79 years old, but also would occasionally screw up and say that he was only 70 years old. He said he retired from the Navy in 1987, and upon retirement went to work in a computer-related field. He would occasionally make these cryptic remarks that hinted he was formerly or maybe even still plugged into the intelligence world. But, you know, this is Reddit. This is where you hear people claiming that, you know, their dad's a Navy SEAL and they're going to have you shot because you made fun of how good they are at a video game. Now, Religion of Peace had his own website during the Reddit days, known by the name of, well, the website address was lakecityquietpills.com, and he referred to it and called it that old guy's image host. And this was, shockingly, an image hosting website, which he used to help support the Jailbait subreddit. So he freely allowed users to use this website to post as many images as they wanted of scantily clad women. And as you can imagine, there's a ton of pornography on there as well. I've read that kind of towards the end of our story and at the end of the life of that old guy's image host, there were 2,250 images on the site. And again, it's totally unmoderated. It was all over the spectrum, you know, from just nice looking women to pornography to possibly some not adult pornography. And Religion of Peace didn't care. He just didn't care. He even would allow other subreddits to use his image hosting service, provided he was on good terms with the mods. Now, on July 17th, 2009, at 6:46 Greenwich Mean Time, or roughly 1:46 a.m. if you live in Chicago, Religion of Peace made his very last post on Reddit. Several hours later, a brand new Reddit user who went by the name 2-6, that's the numeral 2, and then dash, and the numeral 6, he comes along and makes his first post on the site. It was titled The End of Religion of Peace, and the body went on to read as follows. I'm the person who provided Religion of Peace the space for that old guy's image host. Milo died today. He was 79 years old. He died at his desk looking at your site. Milo was a mean old effer. Mean and ornery. He hooked me up with my first gig when I got out of the army. I didn't like him that much. Milo didn't have any living relatives and no real friends other than his landlady and a few people where he worked. He didn't talk to anyone about much of anything. Me, he just tolerated. As I said, he was mean. I think he used that as a shield to keep people away from him. Milo thought God was some kind of con game to keep thought up by some lazy SOBs who didn't want to work every day. So he's going into the fire on Monday without a service, just like he wanted. I'm planning to dump his ashes in the woods in Pennsylvania near where he was born. Can't put him in the right spot because there's a mall there now. I gave the girl next door his raggedy old cat and most of his books. His computers and Tronic stuff he tagged for disabled vets and the VA. All the rest of his stuff is for the Salvation Army. All those years and everything he owned fits into the trunk of my car. I don't know what else to say. I'll miss him. Miserable B word. And that, I apologize for stumbling, but the there's lots of grammatical and spelling errors in 2-6's post. He would, after making this initial first post, he would make a few more posts during the following days, almost all just one or two sentences. His last post was a link to a Google map showing where Religion of Peace, or Milo as we know him now, had his ashes laid to rest. It was in a field southeast of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, not far from a shopping mall. It seems like this should be the end of the story, but this is really where things begin. You know, one thing Redditors love is a potential mystery, and they love to try to solve it. The mystery of this 2-6 guy showing up and disappearing just couldn't be ignored by some. So they started digging. And this digging led to FARC. FARC was kind of a precursor to Reddit and the similar sites from the way early days of the internet. On FARC, these super sleuths found a user who went by the name Angel26. Angel26 mainly posted about guns and the military. Not enough to connect him. You know, there wasn't enough there to really say that this is the same dude as the Reddit user 2-6. But there are two important details that we got to look at. First, Angel26's email address was angel.2.6@LakeCityQuietPills.com. Well, that certainly makes the cheese a bit more binding, doesn't it? The other bit of info you may find interesting, his little motto or saying or whatever on his FARC profile read, quote, "Dispensing Lake City quiet pills to lousy B-words in need of permanent rest since 1968. Oh my heavens. Many people do note, in my opinion correctly, that Angel26's writing style, however, was noticeably different than Reddit user's 2-6 writing style. But we don't stop the digging there, of course. This username, Angel26, appears on Dig. And in 2007, a user by the name of Religion of Peace responded to one of Angel26's posts. Have we made a connection? Possibly a love connection? Maybe not, but I do think we've made a connection. Maybe. Maybe. See, there's a lot of folks who think that Angel and Religion of Peace were the same person, because their writing styles were so similar. And they would often make the same kind of elementary writing and spelling errors over and over and over consistently. Now, while we have one group of Reddit detectives looking into 2-6, another group decided to focus on the Lake City Quiet Pills website. This is a one-page website that was, I'm sorry, there was one page on this website that was just completely blank. Like, literally, you clicked on the link to it and it's a white screen and nothing else. They found this odd, so they delved into the website code for this one page and immediately discovered something interesting. In the notes for the code, they found the phrase, dispensing Lake City quiet pills to lousy B-words in need of permanent rest since 1968. Oh my stars. Further within this code were more messages. For example, quote, Shade is maintaining the calendar and access to the file dump. Angel has the job postings for EU and Asia. We aren't sending anyone to ME. No one. Don't ask for listings. Okay. Seems a bit fishy. What else do we have that was hidden? Well, we've got things like, quote, immediate need. 8 to 10 Chinese/Korean. Fluent Korean dialect accent details after contact. 12-week half-pay sequester on refusal. What else? Quote, 2 ground types. Fluent Farsi, Arabic, French. No papers, no problems. These folks also found a message from July 17th, 2009, passing on that Milo died. It was basically the same as the Reddit post. On September 30th of 2009, another hidden message was posted, and it said, for all those who have asked, I bricked Milo's iron key the same day. All is well. Many have interpreted this to mean that Milo had a secure hard drive, and it was destroyed after he died. So he apparently had a cache of information no one else needed to see, and it was taken care of. On November 14th, another message appeared. This one announced that Milo was flush with cash when he died, and Shade would be paying bonuses to those who had been sent out from 2005 to 2009, with the smallest bonus paying between $3,000 to $4,000. Now, so slowly, these Redditors are putting together notes of all of these, or they're putting together a list of all these hidden notes they've found. And they start painting a picture, and arguably a pretty compelling picture, that Lake City Quiet Pills was a website being used as a cover for, I don't know what the right term is, like, private military contractors or paramilitary folks or black ops groups or whatever. We also have yet another group of Redditors who delved into the website's name. And from that, it was discovered that the largest ammunition supplier to the U.S. Armed Forces since 1941 has been a company named the Lake City Ammunition Plant. Sure, it could be a coincidence, but if so, seems like a notable one. Now we shift focus a tiny bit, okay? Mahmoud al-Mabou was a member of Hamas, the organization that's all about the Palestinian state, the Gaza Strip, and some would argue is nothing more than a glorified terrorist organization. Mahmoud was a lifelong member of various groups of the similar philosophy since he was a teenager in the 1970s, before he eventually was allowed into Hamas. And he was very well respected in this organization. And, you know, the longer he was there, the higher in rank he rose. By the mid-2000s, he served as the chief of logistics and weapons procurement for Hamas, and was also a very important figure in keeping the relationship between Hamas and the Iran's Revolutionary Guards strong and solid. This means, needless to say, he was a pretty tempting target for folks who weren't fans of Hamas. Indeed, in the 2000s, he survived multiple assassination attempts. Two were very big and very noteworthy. One was a car bomb, and another was a poisoning effort, both of which obviously failed. However, in some point near the end of 2009, Mahmoud's personal computer was hacked. I guess that's the term to use. There's probably, I don't know. There was some sort of security breach, let's say, on the machine. And this allowed an outside person to be able to kind of learn of and follow Mahmoud's travels. This third party learned that Mahmoud would be traveling to Dubai in January 2010 and would be without his elite bodyguards for a period of about 24 hours while he was there. Now, Mahmoud arrived in Dubai on January 19th, 2010 at approximately 3 o'clock local time. He was traveling alone and under a fake name. Little did he know, however, he was not the only person that arrived in Dubai that day under a fake name. In fact, a team of an unknown number of operatives were known to be in the area. There was at least a dozen. There may have been as many as two dozen. Because they knew what hotel Mahmoud was staying in, they each took up various positions throughout the hotel to conduct surveillance until Mahmoud arrived. And from what I understand, it's not like they walked in and somebody sat down in the lobby and just read a newspaper all day, blah, 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 blah. They were moving. They were active. They were constantly shifting. They were changing outfits. They would even disguise themselves. They would wear wigs. And so this was a very well-coordinated and very sophisticated operation. When Mahmoud arrived, he took an elevator to his room. One of these operatives, who was dressed as somebody who just finished playing a match of tennis, jumped on the elevator with them. The operative noticed that Mahmoud was staying in room 230. And then when Mahmoud got off the elevator, of course, this operative just continues to ride it up like he's going to his room. He secretly passes on this information to one of the leaders of the group, letting him know where Mahmoud was staying. And this leader immediately called the hotel from the business center there and made a reservation, asking specifically for room 237. The reason why? Because this was the room directly across from Mahmoud's. Now, apparently, asking for such specific rooms was common or not unheard of, because Mahmoud had, while he had not specifically requested room 230, he had requested a room with no balcony and windows that didn't open for security reasons. So this this leader of the operatives manages to secure the reservation for room 237, and he goes to his room. And over the next hour, he's, you know, other operatives show up and kind of join him in his room. One of the group members managed to hack Mahmoud's door lock after he left his room, allegedly to go out shopping, but it's believed in reality he was conducting some business for the Hamas. Once the door lock was cracked, several operatives just went inside room 230 and waited. When Mahmoud entered his room that evening around 8:30, he ran into a squad of folks he did not want to see. 20 minutes later, the operatives left room 230 for room 237, then slowly left room 237 one at a time, taking their belongings before leaving on flights. And these flights span the globe. You know, one went to South Africa, one went to China, one went to Taiwan, one went to Australia, one went to Germany, One went to Argentina. It was just everywhere, literally everywhere. Okay. How do we know so much information about all of this? The entire operation, it turns out, was largely recorded by hotel security cameras. In fact, somebody's put together like a cut of this hit as it's being carried out to the extent that it's in the public eye and posted a video of it on YouTube. I've got a link in the show notes if you want to watch it. Now, Mahmoud was found dead early the next morning by housekeeping. They actually delayed reporting anything wrong because when they arrived and knocked on the door, nobody answered. But when they tried to open the door, the chain lock was secured. So somehow these operatives managed to, you know, put that little chain lock on the door before leaving. And it made housekeeping think, oh, he's just still asleep. He doesn't want to be bothered. We'll move on. When they finally learned that he's truly dead, it looked like initially that Mahmoud had died of natural causes. And in fact, it wasn't until his autopsy was performed and all the lab tests came back about 10 days later that showed, no, this was not natural death. Apparently, when Mahmoud entered his room, he was immediately injected with a paralytic. And then there's evidence that he was tortured by electrical means before being smothered, likely by a pillow. It was reported by the news that the assassination was likely ordered by Mossad, which is the Israeli intelligence force, and which, interestingly, Israel has never directly denied. The United Arab Emirates did a massive investigation to try to locate just one of these operatives. They ultimately determined there were 18 people working together to assassinate Mahmoud, and they were able to get clear pictures of 11 of them from security cameras. UAE investigators also determined that the fake passports they used were likely produced in Israel, and the credit cards they were using came from the United States. However, none of the operators have ever been arrested in connection with this killing. There were some third parties that were arrested and accused of offering logistical support, but that's as close as we ever got. So, all right, why did we start talking about this assassination in the Middle East and leave the Lake City Quiet Pills thing behind? Well, we didn't. Here's the connection. One of the last messages Redditors found on the hidden portion of Lake City Quiet Pills was a message which reads as follows, quote, "Happy New Year, everyone. We're having a birthday party for the old man on the 19th. Party starts at 1500 at the usual. Send your RSVP to Shade. FYI, we're booking a room for 3 days for anyone coming from out of the area and overnight for locals. Come hoist one for Dutch Milo." End quote. This message was uploaded using the same hidden code at the beginning of January. Later, a message followed stating, quote, "We got 38 rooms in the Marriott on 46. Shade has the key cards for locals. Pick up at the party. Give your travel name to the desk and that's it. No ID needed since we're covering the bills. Keep room service under 500, okay? The phones there are not secure. Bus from the hotel at 1330. Car service vouchers for return trip when you're ready to crash. Don't DUI." Several weeks after the assassination was completed, another hidden message was posted that was an accounting for all expenditures, which totaled $94,080 and included medical bills in the accounting. And it also thanked everyone for making Dutch Milo proud. A trickling of new, hidden, and coded now messages would be posted over the next several months. However, as more and more people on Reddit began to become aware of this little mystery, the messages started trickling to a stop, ending at the end of 2010. The last message that was posted was also posted in code and has never been deciphered. Okay, now let's take this mystery a little bit further. A significant minority of the images hosted on Lake City Quiet Pills contain a watermark for a website called drunkenstepfather.com, which, as you can probably deduce, is essentially a pornographic website. In the forum to this site, there is a thread that is 75 pages long and spans 4 years. And this thread was started by a user named 2-6. The first post went up on April 15th, 2010, that states only that TOGIH is up. That stands for this old guy's image host. Users were excited to have a new hosting platform and were grateful that this website was being run without any cost to them. When a user was complaining about how the website was running slow a couple months later, another user states that Milo left 2-6 $25,000 to keep the website running when he died, and 2-6 has refused to otherwise accept money from any other users. Sometime later, when website issues arose again, it was disclosed that 2-6 got effed up on a job in Uganda and had been hospitalized. Eventually, he would slip into a coma and die from his injuries, according to the postings. Shade declared that someone named JP4 would be taking over 2-6's role, and they had a kid helping keep the site going. However, not long after JP4 took over things, he would be spending a lot of time trying to raise funds for the website to keep it running, though we don't really know how successful his efforts were. Soon, Lake City Quiet Pills, the website itself, would shift hands to a new owner. And then again, this happened 4 times, with at last being held by someone known as Madam Meow. Now, during these transitions, clues would be seemingly accidentally dropped as to where Lake City Quiet Pills was being operated out of. Hurricane Irene, which was a massive storm that struck the northeast coast of the U.S., disrupted operations, as did a massive snowstorm that hit the northeast later that year. When there were connection problems sometime after all this, a fix was released that required the users to run, I don't know, it's computer stuff. They had to do something on their end, but it was released in this fix that the IP address for the website. And so once that IP address was out in the world, it showed everybody that Lake City Quiet Pills was being operated out of New Jersey. If one looks into the history of the website, the first time Lake City Quiet Pills ever appears in any form online is when a placeholder site was created in 2004. The domain name itself was purchased back in 2001 and was hosted by a company named Crystal Wind. Now, Crystal Wind was originally a consulting site for folks who wanted to start websites in the early days of the internet. It was established in 1996 by a fella named Mike. And if you were on the internet way back then, which even I wasn't, but I remember kind of at least closer to 2000, you know, companies would have their websites up. They would be rather crude. And a lot of times owners or site managers weren't bashful about sharing their opinions on stuff. And that's how it was with Crystal Wind. Mike used his company's webpage to express his very strong political opinions. In 1999, the Crystal Wind website added a new link entitled, "Don't use these email contacts." If you clicked on that, you went to a webpage that seemingly just had this list of random websites and email addresses. If you went to the bottom of the page, there was a link that said "Our Customers." If you clicked on that, it would pull up a gray page that was blank except for a smiley face and the following text, quote, "The crystal wind is the storm, and the storm is data, and the data is life," which it's attributed to the Player's Litany from The Long Run by Daniel Keyes Moran. On April 2001, the website seems to go dead with only this smiley face page showing up when visitors tried to view any page of the website. That is until shortly after September 11th. The website now looks totally different if you pop on there. And it's showcasing lots of patriotic images and lots of threats towards terrorists. Then in April 2004, we get the placeholder page taking over the website that's identical to the placeholder page Lake City Quiet Pills had. Fun fact, both Lake City Quiet Pills and Crystal Wind use the same IP address. Then in 2007, it changes again. And this time, again, only a little bit of the website is visible. Two pages exactly. One called Snoopy and one called Sharky. Snoopy contains what appear to be those early 3D models you would see on the internet. But it contained one of a woman, one of a blindfolded woman, one of a woman in a suspended animation tank, and another of a woman tied down to the stainless steel table. Now, Sharky had 3D images, but it had a much wider variety of images, like vehicles and all sorts of stuff. All of that same cartoonish look that 3D models looked like in the days. If for whatever reason you downloaded one of those images, it came with a README file. And the README file had a link to a website, which would link to another website. And if you followed this trail to its end, you end up at a website selling 3D models of naked women and girls. Interestingly, if you look into Angel 26's history, he was very interested in creating 3D models and talked about how he went about doing it and his ability with it and things like that, all around the same time frame. It has to be noted, I think, that all the usernames associated with this old man's image hosting or the Lake City Quiet Pill site are publicly acknowledged as having died or been killed or otherwise retired. The last one standing was Madame Meow, the one who took ownership of the site towards the end. And mysteriously, she only existed in any form on that Drunken Stepfather forum. And allegedly, that forum was hacked, and her profile and her profile alone was targeted and deleted in such a way that it could not be recovered. With this deletion, there is no known person or internet name left who is responsible for anything to do with Lake City Quiet Pills. I promised the mystery, and I hope I delivered. Now, many, many, many people have looked at this and have reached the conclusion that this whole saga we've just been through is nothing more than a hoax or an attempt at an ARG, also known as an alternative reality game. Personally, I don't really buy this, because look at the years of dedication. I mean, for a hoax to last for over a decade, that's a lot of time. I mean, we know for certain that this website's up from 2001 to 2010, and that's, you know, there's things going on before that in preparation for getting the website going in 2001. And after 2010, there's still, for a little while, you know, the ripple effect of the website closing down and people being involved. Look, even if we just go with the 2001 to 2009 or 10, that's like 8 or 9 years worth of work, you know? And there's a lot of people who can't keep a job for that long. How long would they go along with creating this hoax that's pretty well hidden, that not a lot of folks are going to find? That's a heck of a lot of dedication for something that's generating you no income. So if this isn't a hoax, if this isn't an attempt at some game, what is it? I mean, are we really willing to believe that Reddit stumbled into some super secret job board for hitmen and former military? Well, maybe. I mean, I personally would not put a lot of stock into that theory, but for having these postings that align so perfectly with the assassination of Mahmoud. Now, and I didn't see any of these pages, so I'm just relying on what people have reported. I mean, everything's been shut down and cleared out for well over a decade by now. There's no hope of me seeing it. But assuming everything's true, which is a big assumption, that fits together too neatly, you know? But, you know, we are relying on what essentially is kind of like an oral history of what happened on the internet. So to me, it's entirely possible this is all bunk, but at least it's a good story. Now, I saw somewhere where some of these Redditors went so far as to analyze Religion of Peace writing style with some computer algorithm. And it determined that Religion of Peace was likely a 35 to 50 year old male. Other Redditors who were well versed in military life noted that Milo and his comments about military stuff indicated he was much more familiar with modern military operations and procedures and the like, as opposed to how life would have been in the military in, say, the 1940s or 1950s. Another weird bit of information I picked up is that the name Milo has special meaning in British military circles. It's an acronym that stands for Military Intelligence Liaison Officer. So if we're willing to believe this, is Milo a person or is Milo a title? Who knows? Now, if you read articles about this story today, they all take the position that this has been debunked. But when they link to an article or a website that claims to have debunked it, at least the ones I saw, none of them directly discredit the research that had been performed by these Redditors. It's really more of a conclusory, well, this can't be true, so it's not true. So, you know, arguably this comes down to whether you think what the Redditors found were secret postings, which were hiring people to do hit jobs, or if these were messages that were added in just to mess with people as a hoax. Now, another possibility that comes to mind that I'll bring up is all of this apparent espionage and assassinations would be a wonderful way to detract from what would otherwise be on the forefront of everybody's thoughts if we didn't have this aspect. The pornography, the potential, you know, kiddie porn, the potential for human trafficking. I mean, arguably, that seems to be what the jailbait subreddit and this drunkenstepfather.com was all about. You know, pornography leaning towards underage women. And, I mean, I guess the reverse could be true as well. The pornographic angle could be used to distract from the fact that there's hit squads communicating or private military contractors talking. So, you know, police see kiddie porn and start looking for that and don't dig any deeper. But if you're aware of both and you're a federal law enforcement official, what are you going to be more concerned about? Somebody engaging in human trafficking and child pornography, or a group of people who are being involved with assassination attempts that have the possibility to affect U.S. intelligence and foreign policy? The reality is that's going to take precedence over people. Having said all of this, okay, one of my resources was a YouTuber by the name of NexPro, who finds weird stuff all the time and loves to research it. And he did an episode on his channel about Lake City Quiet Pills. If you find this interesting, I strongly encourage you to go watch what NexPro did, because this dude got down and dirty researching this. He goes so far, like, the dude is hiring multiple private investigators to help him figure out what the story is here. And he makes some surprising discoveries. Like, this dude worked so hard on it, I don't want to steal his thunder talking about what he did on my show. If you're interested, check him out. Again, links in the description. His episode on this is about an hour long. And in it, you can actually see screenshots of some of these messages and screenshots from the surveillance video and things like that. If you're interested, you know, I mean, if that tickles your fancy at all, I really enjoyed it. And it's just impressive what he was able to dig up. Arguably, he has a theory that may be the correct answer and maybe the solution to all of this. But again, and I mean, I don't have any relationship with NexPro. I don't know what the dude's real name is, so I'm not getting paid for promoting his website. I'm just saying, if you're interested, check it out. I'm just being a good guy here. All right. We're going to wrap it up there. But we're going to do a palate cleanser, of course, strap this one up. And I found a really dumb one that kind of relates to this story. And I kind of love it. I think it's a great bad joke. Okay. I mean, it's not like horrible. It's actually got some quality to it. So here we go. Why did the spy cross the road? Right? Nice, simple format of a joke here. Why did the spy cross the road? Because it turns out he was never on your side. Yeah. All right, kids, that's our show for today. Thank you, as always, for supporting us. It just means a ton. You know, because of you and folks like you, we actually have been growing at a crazy rate for the last few weeks. And I mean, it's not me. I'm not doing anything better. It has to be y'all helping with promotion or what and whatnot. August, first month, we cleared 20,000 downloads in a month. We've now got just over 600 reviews on Apple's website. And I posted this in our Facebook group, but Listen Notes is an organization that exists to kind of for lack of a better way to describe it, they're like the Nielsen ratings for podcasts, and it exists to service advertisers, not podcasters. But as a podcaster, they'll give you certain information for free. They rank Killing, Missing, Hidden as one of the top 0.5% websites or podcasts in the world for advertisers. I don't know what that means because I don't have any advertisers. But basically, you know, I read that as we're in the top half of the top 1% of all podcasts out there, which is stupid ridiculous. And again, it's because of y'all. It's because of y'all. There's no way I do this on my own. It's y'all. Y'all are amazing. Y'all are just the best. And this is flattery that I just don't deserve. It's amazing of y'all. Thank y'all so much. It's so cool. And you know, I'll just keep stumbling in that circle if I don't stop. Everyone have an awesome September. I promise you we're all going to have a good month, okay? That September is going to be great for all of us. Just be cool to everybody you meet. Don't be scared to show some love to folks. You know, continue to share our podcast like you've been doing, like bosses. And try to avoid any jailbait or hitman-related websites. That's probably good for your health and your freedom. All right. Thanks again, y'all. Brad out.
You survived another episode of Killing, Missing, Hidden, the podcast about bad things. Join us next time for another true and thrilling story.